It's Potions and Potpourri again. We are a Dungeons & Dragons talk show where we discuss everything under the umbrella of D&D, anything ranging from where we do interviews with friends of ours, where we do potions episodes where we just create stuff on the spot. We just sit and talk to each other about D&D because we like it so much. And we also sometimes do live plays as well. This is Keisha.
This is Kayla.
And welcome again. This is going to be a pretty special episode, actually. We'll technically call it a potions one, but this was definitely inspired by some friends of ours on Instagram, Old Men Rolling Dice.
Yep.
And this is based off of a show that they do. It's called Prep or Die that they stream on Twitch, I believe.
Yep.
And we're going to be on it this coming Wednesday, the 20th, October 20th. So check it out. So nervous, but it's going to be good.
This is kind of going to be our practice session for it. And it's also a potions episode since we're making something up on the spot. So it works really well. Mm-hmm. So the way that their segment works, Prep or Die, is two DMs, Jeremy and Affy, who is part of his live play on his podcast. They find four images from older D&D books and modules, and they present them to a group of three dungeon masters that have never seen them before. And these three dungeon masters have 30 minutes to make a one-shot based on these images.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. There's like images that I've never even seen before that are really interesting, and it's really fun. And they just kind of get muted. And the DMs, like, talk to each other. The hosts communicate with the chat and stuff about the images and the history of them. And then by the end of the show, the DMs have a chance to kind of pitch their one shot.
Yeah, which it sounds like a lot of fun. I haven't really watched too much myself because I was told it might be more fun to go in a bit more blind.
Yeah.
So, although we are doing right now a practice one, but still, like, I still don't know what to expect or anything.
Just to get the creative juices flowing, because me, Kayla, doesn't really DM, so I'm like, oh, I don't know how to make a one shot. Jeremy's like, come on, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So,
you'll be fine. I'm worried because I overthink things and, like, I have to have, like, a whole fleshed out story.
Yeah.
So just making it where it's like, no, just make it itty bitty, bite size, like, you know, sessions.
What I've learned from watching their couple of shows that they've had is that most DMs prep within an hour or less. They seem to prep well under stress.
Wow.
Like, oh shit, I didn't prep tonight. Here's an entire story.
That's actually very true.
Including one of the first ones I watched, one of their guests literally wrote the one shot out and sent it to me. Like, ready to play.
Wow.
Within 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
It was awesome.
That is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. And sometimes it's good to be put in that situation, too, because you don't know what's going to come out of that. Like, if you're forced into it and you don't know what's going on and, oh my God, there's a time limit. Ah, work, go, brain. Ah, you know, you might surprise yourself. So I'm hoping that'll happen for us, that we'll come up with something pretty decent. Or, you know, even if it's like just the bare bones of like an outline.
And there's no winning or losing. You're just there for fun. So it's not like that they're going to pick one that they like or anything.
Right.
And it's really, really interesting because you see how different people think about stuff and how different DMs make stories based on images. So Keisha and I have chosen five?
Yeah, I think it was five.
We chose five images kind of at random from a mixture of Keisha's D&D books. So she has some of the traditional 5e books, like the Dungeon Master's Guide. She has Mordekainen's, Tasha's, that stuff. And she also has, like, some Kobold Press, like, supplements. They're awesome. And, like, the Fairy Fire, like, Kickstarter supplement. So we've got a little bit of a range. And then for maps, we're using...
So he goes under the name Jog Brogson, I believe is how you say it. And he is a map maker that I stumbled on one day. I think it was Instagram. And I just love his work.
It's really cool.
So all credit to him
on
the map that we use, which we'll put the pictures up best we can on Instagram for you guys to see. But we'll also try our best to describe them to you now if you're just going to listen.
Yeah, I know it's difficult to just hear it.
Yeah. But... yeah, so Jog Brogson is the name that he goes under on Instagram. And check him out. He's awesome. So worth it.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we're going to do it. We looked at the pictures already, but we're kind of just going to make it be as random as we can.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really plan or talk about them. We just were like, this one, this one, this one, this one.
Yeah.
And then, so if you're listening to this episode the week of October 2021 and are able to tune in this Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be live on Twitch for the first time ever.
You'll see our faces.
It's going to be fun. We're going to be in costume even. But if you are listening to this later and you've missed the episode, they will all be available on Jeremy's Twitch account, which is DM_Jeremy on Twitch. So you can go watch this Prep or Die episode and all the other ones that come before us and after us.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's a really fun little segment. It's cool. Like, it was fun for me to watch and be like, oh, like, what would I do with those images? You know, it kind of just gets the juices flowing.
Yeah. And you interacted with them too, didn't you?
Yeah, I was live in the chat. It was super fun. It's really funny.
So yeah, we're going to do our own little mini version of that tonight. We're not going to do the full, I think you said it was 30 minutes is what we're given on the actual Prep or Die. Yeah. So for this one, it's going to be shorter just for like our own episode purposes or whatever. So, but it's going to be more like 20.
Yeah. And to be fair, like their whole show ends up being about an hour, you know,
right?
All three DMs describing them, talking, introducing, chatting, taking a break. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And, yeah. Do we want to describe the things first?
Yeah. Let's talk about the images.
Okay.
So we picked 5 images. The first one is a map that I just kind of randomly chose by Jog Brogzin on Instagram. And it is called the Intermundium Tavern. So it is a 2-story tavern that's been cut away from the corner. So it's almost like in The Sims, where you have the walls in the back up and the walls in the front down.
Right.
And it's got a 2-story staircase that leads up. There's a huge bar with like lots of seating. And there's all kinds of like pictures and knickknacks. And it looks like taps for beer in the back. There is storage under the stairs. There looks like a few tables for people to sit around.
Yeah.
And the common area, there's this kind of like square in the middle that could be
a dance something floor.
Else. Yeah, so there's kind of a lot to play with here. There's stuff up on the roof, and there's no patrons in it, so it kind of gives us room to play with.
Right.
It's not as big of a concept as, like, some of the other pictures that you might see in this show in general, but it'll be fun for us to kind of see what we come up with.
Yeah.
So that's, like, kind of the setting. And then, and this might help for page references if you guys own these books and want to look with us without being able to see the pictures on Instagram or something. So, in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, page 124, we have this thing called the Crystalline Chronicle.
Wow.
That Keisha found.
We have no idea what it is.
It sort of looks like, I mean, how would you describe that, Keisha?
Okay. So there's a glowing orange orb that is being held,
suspended.
Encased, yeah. It's suspended in this really ornate little fixture. It's got some legs in the shape of arrowheads, and there's just this like curving, maybe like feather, it kind of looks like. It's very like wispy, very detailed. Maybe it's metallic from the picture.
It does look like it's made of metal.
Encases that orb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's holding some kind of floating orb, like she said. So it definitely looks like a magical item of some sort.
It looks pretty dope.
And we don't know what it is, but you might have played with it, so you might know instantly what we're talking about. And we're going to not read the description and just make it our own item.
Yeah. So even though we have literally all the stats and whatnot for all these things that we're looking up in these books,
we're just going to ignore them.
We're ignoring them.
And then next, we kind of found a little character. So this is in one of the Kobold Press books.
Pocket edition.
Tome of Beasts, which is awesome.
The first one.
The first one. And it is on page 267 if you own this book. So the picture that we're looking at here is this. He's obviously some sort of wizard.
Yeah.
He has a really, really long
crown.
White and silver beard that's very pointy.
Also beard.
He has dark flowing robes that are all black and like kind of big sleeves. It has a really tall, probably gold crown that, like, almost
really tall,
almost looks like spikes. It's like 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Going up over his head, and he's holding an ornate sword in one hand and
is it a needle?
Some kind of item, like a needle, in his other hand that he's gazing at very seriously. Yes. With intensity, yes, very seriously. So he's definitely some kind of magic person, maybe.
He doesn't even have eyes, they're like blacked out.
Oh. That, or maybe they're just shadows.
And his eyes are blacked out.
Yeah.
And we don't know who he is.
What's he doing? What are you talking about?
That's a mystery.
But we'll find him a place. Technically, in that book, I guess he's considered a monster. But in this case, I mean,
it could be whatever we want.
It's whatever we choose. So,
And then we have a creature. He is called the Exploding Toad. This is also in a Kobold Press book, the Creature Codex Pocket Edition. This is on page 150 in the Creature Codex. So, Exploding Toad. This one might be a little more self-explanatory. It is a toad with red eyes, and the boils on his back seem to be made of fire, and they are exploding, and there is fire all around him. He's really cute.
Give him a hug.
So, that one is pretty easy. And then the final picture is one we kind of added for flavor to, like, add some ambiance.
Yeah.
It is a full-size page in the Dungeon Master's Guide. So, this is one that you would almost certainly be able to find. On page 215, it's a full-size color picture of some sort of, like, menagerie bookcase.
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff on there. There's skeletons. You have, like,
potions,
tentacles, potions, jars of all
books.
Kinds. There's a little man in there.
It's
kind
of like one of those how many things can you find pictures.
Right.
This is a really cool picture.
Xenomorph.
Oh, neat. So, yeah, that'll be fun because there's all kinds of, like, little hidden gems. It kind of gives you a way to set a setting a little bit more. Maybe this is where you'd find your items or whatever. So,
right.
Those are our pictures. Sorry it's not as fun when we're just describing them to you, but maybe it'll be easier if you actually see them in person on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Or if you own some of these books and can physically look at them yourself.
And follow along. Maybe make your own adventure and compare it to what we end up with.
Right. So that's kind of how we're going to do it. And again, this is just practice for us and also another way to practice potions.
Mm-hmm.
The segment of our show where we kind of just make things on the fly.
Right.
So, and that's literally what it is.
Right. So
they fit together really well.
Sweet. All right. So we're getting to the point where I'm going to hit pause, obviously, for you guys. It's not going to be paused, but we're going to take 10 minutes. I have my timer ready and we'll do like a halfway check-in and come back to you guys, see how we're doing, how we're feeling, where we're at,
mm-hmm.
and then pause again, finish it up, and then
describe them.
Describe it.
Yep.
Cool.
All right.
See you on the flip soon. Side.
Okay. We are back for our first check-in. It's been about 10 minutes and Keisha and I have been scribbling furiously in silence.
A lot of scribbles.
Trying to figure out what the fuck we're going to make with these images. So, which one of these images stuck out to you the most that you feel like you were basing your story on the most?
So for me, it's the picture, like the full-on page with all the shelves and the items and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. That one's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it probably doesn't help that there's so much in there. Yeah. Of course, it draws the eye, but that is the main idea that I have.
Sure.
Do we talk about, like, what we have so far, like, everything, or?
Not necessarily. Oh, just kind of in general, like, how you think it's going to come together.
Okay.
For me, it's kind of a lower level adventure. I was thinking that the wizard was kind of more of the quest giver than, like, the boss.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't quite worked out what I want to do with the, like, suspended glowing orb and the, like, ornate metal holder.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I have a direction with that at least. But so far I've incorporated almost everything else, including the, like, bar map.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have most everything. I know what I want to do. I have the end.
Okay. Well, that's important.
Basically figured out. Yeah. Like,
just work backwards.
So the way I have this set up is this would probably be a mid-level adventure.
Okay, cool.
Definitely not beginner, probably. And yeah, again, I have the end in sight. It's always the in-between that's hardest for me.
Yeah.
Like, how to actually build that story. You know, that's always, for some reason, the most difficult. I always have a strong beginning and a really strong end, but connecting
that. No middle.
That's what's hardest. I definitely don't have anything for the tote right now.
Okay.
That's the only element that I haven't incorporated yet. I'm having a bit of a struggle, but I think I have just gotten to the point where maybe I can find out what to do with it.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because my process right now on my notes is I'm making a story right now.
Smart.
Not even doing any details of like monsters or traps or anything like that. Mm. It's just literally like, what is the plot here?
Perfect.
And then driving from that.
Okay.
So
I think I'm more just kind of like a general, like, this is how this item works. This is how this map would be. Kind of like, I don't really have the story. I just have the general outline.
Sure. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, get back to it.
Get back.
And see what we actually come up with.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right, guys. We are back. It has been collectively 20 minutes working on our brief one-shots. And I guess we'll let you know what we got. I guess I'll go ahead and say what mine was. So okay. It's a very, very, very loose idea.
Sure. We didn't have very much time.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun to just get those creative juices going and seeing where they lead you. And it was kind of hard for me, though, because my ideas kind of kept changing
sure.
as I went along. But hopefully they kind of make sense.
And so, they would probably change if you actually played it. You know, it changes as you go.
Right.
Before you start, which picture did you have the most trouble with? Did you end up finding a use for the toad?
Not at all.
Oh, no.
Okay. It's not really in there.
Okay.
Technically.
So nothing about exploding toads.
Not really.
Okay. Which one was your favorite? The curio?
Probably.
The, like, cabinets with all the stuff on them?
With all this stuff.
Okay.
That's where I took 90% of my idea. And the other two, honestly, were just kind of, well, the old man, the wizard man, and then the ornate orb play parts, and then I guess collectively with the map and this page with all of the menagerie of things, those two fused and became my main idea.
Okay.
So what I saw, so it's a tavern, right? So what I actually wrote is the menagerie, a tavern unlike any other. You walk in and always there is something new, something different, something that calls to you in a way that you need, whether you realize it or not.
Okay.
So it's not just a tavern. It's so much more than that.
Is it a shop?
It's many, many things. Sometimes it is a tavern where you come in for a drink, and that's all you needed. You just need a time to kick up your feet, chat with some people, and then be on your way. In other cases, there might be an assortment of items, of things that you might need.
Cool.
To help you pursue a quest or just in your life in general.
Wow.
It could be something for, like, a farmer who's trying to find the perfect ring for the one that he loves. Aww. Or it could be, like, an actual, like, blazing sword, you know, that some hero needs to slay a dragon. There could also be quests given to you here. Ooh. So this menagerie, however you say that, is run by this wizard man. He is the ancient one. And he has the orb of all knowing.
Okay.
Yeah. So he uses this orb and he sees everything. He knows everyone. As soon as you enter this tavern, he knows everything about you. He knows your desires. He knows your fears. He knows what it is that's missing in your life. And he provides that.
It's kind of like a crystal ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Okay.
So you go in there, and again, it's different for everyone, it's different every time. So for the one shot, I have you enter knowing you're missing something, but you don't know what it is. So you enter, and you are greeted by the Ancient One, and he knows that you need to go through some trials to understand what it is you're missing, because it is something greater than just a mere drink or a mere object or anything like that. So you take a drink. And in a way, it's kind of like a drug where it kind of puts you in a bit of a trance and you start your journey there. And so...
Oh, good. More drugs.
Yeah, right?
Your favorite.
So what I take inspiration from on here is that every shelf is a level. And that kind of, like, represents what that level is.
Okay, so you'd move, like, up the bookcase, quote-unquote.
Right.
Of, like, fighting things.
Exactly. So it's like you're in the tavern and you go up the stairs, but the stairs are never ending. And
so, like, what are some of the things on here that would be monsters?
So
that inspired you?
So, like, the first one was actually, it's going to be a puzzle. Because I see this man trapped in the glass. Okay. You know, I see a lot of shadows and lights and everything.
Oh, wow, Keisha.
So this is what I see. So the first one would be a puzzle, and the room is, like, crushing in on you.
Mm.
And the first thing that I wrote for my outline was just, like, first level, darkness, trapped, small, you know, puzzle your way out, you know, just, like, words to describe
it. Yeah, that makes sense.
So you have to escape it before it crushes you. You go to the next level. The next one is described, in my words, aquatic, suffocation, inquisitive. So there's a lot of, like, let's see. So yeah, you see this, like, little snaky snake here. And there's just, like, a lot there's of like bottles.
A frog in a bottle there's and, like, a snake skeleton.
So maybe that's where the exploding frog could be. So those are some things, like, you're drowning and you have to, like, get your way out of that. There's another, the next level, let's see. That's where there's a bunch of monsters, in my opinion. Because you see, like, the squid here. You see this creature, you see this giant head, you know, that is where you fight something.
Wow, cool.
This is your biggest fears trial. They seem larger than they appear. Literally beat them down. Wow. Is what I wrote. And then the next one is death and decay and withering.
Yeah, because there's, like, this probably, like, dog, like, or cat skeleton and, like, an oversized worm.
This
and
looks like blood to me over here,
like a pickled gorilla head or something.
Yeah, so to me it's death is always on the mind. And on this level, you encounter something, probably a creature that is too strong. Like, it will kill you.
Wow, cool.
But you come back, and then you finally reach that top level of freedom, of epicness. You see this bird here, so you see the sky. It's towering above everything else. You're in the clouds, like, you're on top of the tavern at this
point. My goodness.
At this point, and you, like, have passed all your trials. And you face the man himself, and he tells you that this orb is actually your heart. He knows you, and this is, like, it's beating in his hands. You have the option of, like, you can attack him and take it into your own hands, like, take destiny into your own hands, and you become the Ancient One or something like that.
Wow.
So, this isn't really much of a one-shot, I guess.
But it's fucking, like, cool, though.
It's a general idea.
Way more than I had planned.
So that was mine.
What level would you say people should be at for this one?
Ideally, it can't be lower levels. I think this would be a much higher one. Probably like level 12, maybe.
Okay.
I want to say
pretty mid-range
pretty
then.
Up there, yeah.
Cool. So you could really fight some big baddies, especially at the end.
Yeah, definitely.
And the wizard would be a pretty strong wizard too.
Yeah, I would imagine he would be a really tough cookie to beat, for sure.
Wow.
But yeah, that's what I came up with.
Yeah, I really like the idea of taking the, like, big bookcase of oddities and making it, like, a leveled system that you, like, move up on. That was really creative.
Yeah.
And
you just
then,
take pieces of it. And
like, you kind of went a different direction with the orb, with it kind of being, like, all-knowing, all-seeing, like, magical item and stuff, and what I had planned for it. So that was also really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So what you come up with?
Okay. So mine's a little bit on the funner side,
nice.
Like, sillier side.
Good.
So I actually saw the tavern, and I had the idea to have this be set in the Yawning Portal.
Mm.
So it's one of the tales from the Yawning Portal.
Mm-hmm.
So the adventurers would get summoned to the inn for a job. It's just, that's just kind of common knowledge that you can go to the Yawning Portal, and people would usually be there
mm-hmm.
to kind of give you some kind of quest. They meet a wizard who introduces himself as Cadium the Collector.
Ah, you came up with the
name! I named him! And that is our long-bearded fellow here. He's very odd. And he takes you up to his room, where he has this large mirror set up.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has, like, what it looks like a traveling bookcase, like, on legs.
Hmm.
And he opens it up, and it's larger than it looks mm-hmm. on the inside. And it's this picture very with all confident. The stuff in it. So he has all these magical items with him, and he says that if you help him find his magical haystack...
What?
Because he's holding a needle! I don't know.
Oh.
That's what I came up with. So he's looking for a magical haystack that does something really cool that he won't tell you about. But if you find this really cool item, he'll give you your choice of any of his magical items in his traveling curio case.
Nice.
Because he's a collector and he's found all sorts of interesting stuff in his travels. And so this would be like a lower level adventure. Like I was thinking 5-ish, just because some of the monsters are going to be lower level. But so you would go through the mirror in his room. And it would be an upside down version of the inn. So it would just be the map, but reversed. Mm-hmm. So you would like walk down his hallway again. And this is where the exploding toads would be. That's where the light would come from. Mm. And you'd have to kind of fight your way through. But there'd be about 4 or 5 rooms in this hallway that led up. Yeah, because it'd all be upside down. And in the rooms would be stuff like mimics and smothering rugs.
Oh, God.
And like moving objects, you know, and
the worst.
Yeah, and they would kind of all be trapped, and there would be like, you know, ways to get through there. And then I even said that one of the rooms would have a secret passage down to the next level, so you could kind of avoid all the monsters if the players rolled a high enough like intelligence check.
Sure.
If they were searching the rooms well enough. Otherwise, you kind of just fight your way through to the next level, and so you would go up the stairs to get to the, like, bar area that was the yawning portal before. Mm-hmm. And this is where the players start to sense, like, a magical thing trying to communicate with them, which I said was the orb. So basically the orb has this, like, aura that is communicating with the players, and they would have to roll wisdom saves to not be lured to go towards it. Immediately.
Nice.
And if they are lured towards it and pick it up, which they probably would, or even if they do it on their own, it unleashes some sort of fire creature that I was looking up. And that would be like a fire elemental or something like mid-level for them to fight. And that would kind of be like the end boss.
Nice.
After fighting all these other little things. But it wants to be woken up, you know. And once they do that and defeat him, the orb kind of dies and the veil that had been over the room dissipates. And it is really it's this room with all these items in it, basically, you know, because the map has like the bar and this empty square in the middle and all this stuff. And there's really all these things to discover. And then the kind of like square that was empty, I said was actually like a trapdoor that is locked, and so once the fire elemental has been defeated, it opens up, and that's where they find the haystack.
It's real!
Yeah.
It's
just, like,
real.
Just sitting there, like, floating on its own, and you don't know why it's so special to him, but you can feel it has a ton of energy coming off of it, and it's okay to touch it. And they take it back to the wizard and get their choice of leveled magical items.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fun. See, that's a real one-shot.
I guess. I mean, yours is definitely a one-shot.
I don't know.
There's a lot to do.
It's so much, yeah. It's like, I feel like mine is much more bare bones and just, like, words and ideas.
I think mine was more bare bones.
I don't know. You have actual, like, oh, you make a throw here, you make a throw there. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have actual things like that, more detailed, and I'm just like, I don't know, this one's the scary one and this one's
I don't know. I think we both thought about it in totally different ways, you know. Like,
but
had like a system to follow, and mine was kind of just more of a dungeon crawl, fight the baddie, get the item,
right,
get something in return. So
right,
yeah.
And that's always a good classic way to go about it too, I think, when making a one shot, like do those steps where it's like, okay, you get the quest and it's an adventure, you beat some kind of creature, you get reward, you know.
Exactly.
And
for a one shot, I think it's like, you know, it works.
Yeah.
And then you'd have that stuff if you wanted it for later, like you could go back to the portal, you could go back to the wizard for another quest to get another item, and you'd have your choice of pretty much any item that was within your level range, which would be really fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have, like, and I think that's kind of the idea of one shots, is that you could just literally keep it as a one-shot, or you could, like, incorporate it into your world somehow, some way.
Expand upon it and do more with it.
Right. So, like, I view mine as, like, a personal quest kind of a thing, or a personal growth, more so than anything.
Because,
again, when I said earlier, it was kind of changing the more I thought about it. It ended up being, like, every level, like, the first one when you're piecing together, when you're solving that puzzle before you get crushed, you know, you have to release what's suffocating you.
Mm.
You know, whatever's holding you back. And then the second level was your own, like, that mean voice you have, the thoughts manifested into something terrible, and they, you know, those words take you down and attack you, and,
yeah,
you know, just things like that.
I mean, yours definitely has much more of, like, a plot, you know?
Yeah.
Of, like, a, this is gonna lead you to this emotion, mm-hmm. and your players are gonna have a total, like, epiphanal experience or whatever.
Right. And that's, I guess,
awesome.
That's kind of reflective of how I kind of DM in general.
Yeah, it
because
is.
I like,
it's very personal.
Yeah, I like personally attacking characters, but only to make them grow.
But it also is much more theatrical. Like, there's a lot more of that theater of the mind element where we are imagining all these things.
Right.
And experiencing them all. Where mine is more just like a silly, like, ooh, let's go squash some baddies let's and get a fun stuff. Item and then move on with our lives.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, yours could be like a 2 or 3 part quest, and then like, oh, what happens when your players take their own destiny into their hands?
Yeah, exactly.
And how does the rest of the story unfold after that, you know?
Right. Like, did they conquer it? Did they just leave the old man so that he kind of controls their destiny in the end? They're like, I'm more comfortable with you
yeah.
taking control, right. and I just, you know, go with the flow, or...
Yeah, yours definitely seems more like a jumping off point mm-hmm. for a story. Not that you couldn't, like, put it in somewhere.
Right.
But it'd be a good way to, like, level up your characters or something.
Yeah, definitely. And that was also kind of the intention, too. Like, this wouldn't be probably super quick because there's all those levels and they'll need more detail with each one.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it could be, I don't know, something that maybe one could use, again, just to, like, be like, hey, your character learns more about themselves, or they beat off whatever personal struggles they're having
by going
here or something. So that was, like, the core.
I was going to say that the image for me that was the most difficult was definitely the orb.
Yeah.
The toads, I was like, it's going to be a little of adventure. They're like a perfect, like, low challenge rating monster. You can have multiple of them. They're funny.
Right.
You know, they probably, like, will hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
And then plus having, like, a good handful of other low to medium level encounters that could or could not happen
mm-hmm.
that lead you to the big guy. And the orb, I was like, God, what is it? You know, is it sinister?
It's so fancy.
Is it an item? And I was like, well, he's already going to give them items. They're already collecting an item, you know, so it kind of had to have like a lore of why they would interact with it.
Right. You need something that's like the baddie.
Right. So that's kind of why I struggled. But then I was like, oh, well, it can just be like a vessel that holds the boss. And that seems the most simple.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I like your idea.
Fun.
That was awesome. This was good practice.
It was good practice. I know.
Because like when we were going through this, I would check my watch every now and then. I'm like, okay, it's been 7 minutes. It's been 5 minutes. We have 20 seconds.
Right. I think we could do it, especially with more pictures and the internet to help us and being able to type instead of write.
Yeah. Yeah. Writing takes a long time.
It does.
The more I wrote, the more scribbly it got. And I was like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, and for me, it's like I would rather have like a Google's Doc open or something where I can just go back to the top paragraph and add a detail in.
Yeah.
Instead of like writing it all over the page and trying to squish it all
in. Yeah, I'm trying to be like, oh, I don't have room anymore. I just gotta go on the side and write tinier and scroll it out. And yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so that was our potions of us making one shots based on some fun images.
Yeah.
Practicing for the Old Man Rolling Dice Prep or Die live Twitch stream happening this Wednesday the 20th. Or if it's already happened, you can catch it on their Twitch page, which is under DM_Jeremy. And it's just a really fun show in general. Plus, this was a fun little potion segment for us to experiment on.
Yeah, definitely shout out to those guys for A, letting us go on the show, and B, for giving the inspiration for this. This is a really fun idea.
Yeah.
To just, like, get together, throw a bunch of stuff together, mix it up, and see what happens. And
I definitely need the practice, so it's fun for me to kind of branch out a little bit into the DM world some more.
Yeah, definitely. And it's fun for me just making totally new stories.
Something that isn't your own homebrew content.
Right?
Based on other people's work.
Yep.
Yeah, so make sure that if you want to see the images, because I know it's not as easy to just listen to us talk about them, then right. Go check us out on Instagram at Potions and Potpourri and find this post where we announce this episode with all the pictures posted. And that'll give you kind of a better idea of what you're looking at.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, guys. I hope this was entertaining. Maybe it spurred some interest in you for doing something like this, or even taking nuggets of these little one shots.
Yeah.
And doing something with it yourself.
Definitely.
Feel free. Even though it was, again, tiny little nuggets, but still, you never know. But yeah, this has been fun. We might try this again.
I liked it. Honestly, this was something cool. We've kind of wanted to try. We just didn't know what format to use.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great inspiration.
All right. Yeah. See us on Twitch. Please check us out on all the things Potions and Potpourri. Yeah. This is Keisha.
And this is Kayla. See you guys later.
Bye.